The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by Miller Lite, University of Phoenix, and Walgreens. Now from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Very nice win by the Bears over Cleveland yesterday, a road win over a pesky Browns team. Good evening, everybody. And welcome in to the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, live from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall, with Bears head coach Mark Trestman along with, later on, assistant offensive line coach Pat Meyer. You dissect that win, and all that matters is the Bears are 8-6, and that record in the NFC North looks sparkling when you compare it to the Detroit Lions at home tonight against the Baltimore Ravens. That's the game everybody's going to be watching. We have the TVs on here in the studio awaiting the kickoff of that particular matchup, and the Ravens fighting for a division title as well. Should be a very physical affair. The Ravens certainly have been a team that has experienced pressure like this late in season, as they did a year ago on their march to a Super Bowl. A Lions loss, and the Bears will control their playoff future in the final two games, and that's the story. That's as simple as the final part of the season boils down to. As we welcome in head coach Mark Trestman, good evening. How you doing?
Doing fantastic, Jeff. Thanks, as always, for having me here.
Hey, it's the coach's show. You're the man that has to be here. What impressed you about yesterday's performance?
Our team's ability to overcome the inevitable adversity that comes each week in an NFL football game, and it came early to us. The walls closed in on us very, very quickly, and you know, our guys did what they've done all year, that when the expected adversity hits, because it hits every week for every team, they closed ranks, moved on to the next play, did it with energy, and were committed to each other. And it was, a very, very well-deserved win in a very, very difficult environment.
14 games, do you feel they've handled it always at a very, very good level, a level that you are comfortable with?
Yeah, I do. I mean, we've addressed after the game. We came clean initially. You know, we won the game, and it's hard to win in the National Football League. You'll take them any way you can get them. But the other side of it is that we did things in that game that really allowed us to self-destruct periodically and self-inflicted wounds during the course of the game that we've got to get better at. And we'll focus on this week because we won the game. But for us to, be a impact this division the next 2 weeks and do what we have to do 1 week at a time, we've got to do some of these things better.
In a manner of speaking, and I ran into Jay on the way to interviewing you yesterday in the locker room before we got on the bus and went to the airport. Big grin on his face, almost a sense of relief. Did you get the same feeling, given what happened all swirling around the team last week?
Before or after the game?
After.
I think that it was a very emotional week for our football team and for Jay and for all of us. You know, there was a lot of noise surrounding our team and where we were and what we were about to do. And I felt that he was more really proud of his teammates for the way they had his back, not only on the offensive side of the ball, but the entire team.
And he also appreciated very much, and apparently he went around and polled everybody that he felt was going to have some sort of input, whether it be offensive linemen or other offensive players, if they were good with this. And I rarely have ever heard that.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it. I reflected that in the press conference yesterday that, that was something that was new information to me. People don't get a chance to see all of what Jay Cutler's all about. And he's deeply invested in our football team on a emotional level. And he cares about the organization, this team, and he felt that if he felt that was one of the things he needed to do to establish his credibility for the game, so be it. But I felt good that his teammates had his back.
Somebody brought this to my attention today. True or false, you've been down this road once before, back in the mid '90s with the 49ers. I don't know; it's not the same scenario, but Elvis Gerback was quarterback in the 49ers. He had a trio of really good efforts, 300-yard passing games. I think it's the only other time in NFL history that a quarterback had, backup quarterback had three 300-yard passing games, and then in comes Steve Young.
Yeah, well, he had
on the way to the playoffs.
Yeah, at the end of the day, Steve Young was our quarterback, and Elvis did a phenomenal job, and Boy, that's a long time ago.
These are the only two times in NFL history, apparently, that this has happened.
Well,
you've been involved in both. It's just interesting, if nothing else,
you
Big Mark.
You come up with some gems.
NFL Network came up with that one, apparently. Anyway, Matt Forte, we'll talk about Jay. We're going to talk about Jay more in the next segment because I think there was the pieces to this offensive puzzle that are coming to life over the course of the season are really profound. You know, when you came in, you had certain ideals that you set in place. We're going to protect the quarterback. We're not going to have pre-snap penalties. We're going to win contested balls. These are going to be the key parts of our offense. But the spreading around has really started to bloom with the both receivers having great years. And Matt Forte, he's bearing down on 2,000 yards from scrimmage, both run and passing game.
I'd rather not answer any of those questions
until
February.
I didn't ask you a question. It's good conversation.
It is good conversation. You know, I don't spend much time on the stats. I really don't know. You probably fill me in on most of it. You know, we're focused more on just moving the football and creating an environment where each of these guys can have targets during the week, be part of the game plan, and then just see how it goes. And I'd really try to not to make it any more complicated than that. I'm hopeful this consistency continues, that I think that when everybody's involved, it's more fun. And we have good players, and I want to see them all have success. So if we can get them all the ball and win games, that's good.
You hit upon something that is exactly right. You can tell by their reactions. I look at Earl Bennett. Earl, every time he scored a touchdown this year, it's a huge celebration of his teammates. Most guys celebrating that, but you can tell. It's fun.
Yeah, you can.
It's fun. You know, they're getting in the end zone.
You know, everybody's the most important guy on the team. That's the way we treat everybody around here, that there's nobody more important than the other guy. And, you know, Earl Bennett's one of those guys. He's a great team leader. He leads every day through his demeanor. If you know him, you know what the man's all about. He's as high a character as you could get. He never says a negative thing. His energy is always positive, and he's a good football player. And to get him involved and make him part of what we do is, you know, everybody loves that. These guys love him because they know he's the real deal. He's consistent, and he's a great leader, and people wouldn't know that if they weren't in the locker room.
And where I was getting at with Forte, the production, and especially here in the last three games, he's had three 100-yard games, it's something that you envision, though, with this back, this particular back with all these tools.
Yeah, we talked about it early on, and, you know, I try not to look at it until the end to see where this thing is going to take us. But apparently it's, you know, there's some good things going on there, and we're going to continue to try to keep it going the next 2 weeks.
Cutler from center, play fake to throw. Jay climbs the pocket, hit high in the head as he throws it downfield, jump ball up in the air.
Elshon got the ball at the one. It was a total jump ball, touchdown Bears. Elshon just went up there and got the ball. He had to adjust his body to pull it in with two hands across the goal line for the touchdown.
There's a lot to dissect just right there. You hear Tom Thayer in the background laughing. It's a third wow moment in 3 weeks for Alshon Jeffrey and the Bears offense. The throw by Jay Cutler hit. He thought it was going to land around the 20, Mark.
Yeah, I saw Jay get hit, and the ball just kept carrying. And got to Alshon, and as somebody once said, Alshon did what Alshon does, and he jumped up in the air and made the play.
Yeah, but there's skill involved in that, and the ability to concentrate, the ability to adjust his body in a position where
ball skills, hand-eye coordination, and plus the work that goes into, you know, those justifiable moments for a player when they work so hard to play at the level that he's playing at and to see the rewards that he's getting. Never complains, never says a word. Incredibly high football intelligence, a one-rep guy. Tell him what to do, he does it. Great instincts. You know, the wide receiver position is an artistic position. It's a creative position, but you have to do it with a framework and a discipline. He does all of that. He's really special.
Sure is, no question. Acrobatic indeed, and he is the play of the week, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Here with Mark Trestman at 6:44 as we take a look at what happened yesterday and look ahead to the Philadelphia Eagles a little bit. Let's go back to Jay. You've broken down his performance. You did earlier today. Give us a synopsis for those people that didn't get to hear it today.
You know, he did some things very, very well. I thought, you know, the things he didn't do well, I thought he... you know, held the ball a little long when he threw the ball to Brandon. Probably should have checked it down or run it. The throw that he made to Brandon on the second interception. You know, I talked to Jay this morning. Even though Brandon probably should have been wider on the play, he got in a little bit tighter than he should. Brandon was correct. I think that, you know, talking to Jay about it, Jay felt he should have made that throw. And then he was high on two or three throws, and it was strictly a mechanical thing. He made good decisions. He was going to the right guy. He read the coverage properly. He just didn't go over his left side enough. He was on his back foot. And when you don't get over that left side and finish your throwing motion, you're going to be high, and in a wind, the ball's going to drift, and that's what it did. But he was able to, you know, compensate for that most of the game. I mean, you come back after being out as long as he does. You complete 71% of your passes against a top 10 rate defense in the league. You know, very good defense. That says a lot. And as Jay said, the line protected very well for him, and that didn't not just the five guys, but Eben and Matt and Brand and Martellus. All those guys did a great job of protecting. Jay took a couple of hits, but you know, really didn't get sacked in the game and stayed pretty clean. You know, he'll tell you that the guys did enough for him to get those balls completed. So, you know, he liked to have four or five of those throws. He could have had a very high percentage, and certainly wanted with the interceptions back.
Well, everybody would love to be perfect, but
that's what we try to do.
Third down passing, he was. He had a perfect quarterback rating on third down passing the football. Yeah, 11 of 12, Mark, for 152 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, I think that, you know, number one, Jay would tell you that Aaron and Pat Meyer, our line coaches, do an exceptional job of setting up our protection plans each and every week. That's the first thing in third down, because third down is so hard, and this week particularly hard of the multiple fronts and blitzes that they had. So, you know, that's number one. And then the guys have to assimilate that in the course of the week. There's a lot of different looks and a lot of communication that goes on to solidifying protection in the National Football League on third down. So it all starts there. And then we got a lot of man-to-man coverage. The guys got to get open, and did a lot to help each other unlock each other in terms of our releases. And it's a one big dance, you know, and it starts in meetings, and it works its way into third down. And that's a real exceptional performance on any level to do that on third down.
Going back to the fundamentals of throwing the ball, you keep saying he has to get all the way around on his left side. Can you elaborate on that a little bit
if you watch quarterbacks, generally, a right-handed quarterback, generally his left foot will tell it all. His left foot has got to be open to the target, usually 6 inches in front of the target. And when your left foot opens up, your knee opens up and your hips open up, and so you don't lock up. If your left foot is pointed inward and not directly at the target, you're going to be thrown across your body. When you do that, you lock up, you can't finish, and you wind up throwing it and pulling back before you finish. And when you pull back before that arm comes through, any golfer will tell you, if you don't finish your golf swing, you're going to slice the ball, and that's basically what happens.
Interestingly, though, while everything is going on, that's going to rarely happen where you can have that perfected step and throw and release like that, right?
Because you got to
adjust.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. I mean, there's awkward throws, and elite quarterbacks in the National Football League got to make them. I mean, Jay made one on one of the third downs. He had Brandon
over the middle.
Brandon across the middle.
No,
and
it was Marty.
And Marty across the middle. So you climb the pocket. You have to exit right, and all of a sudden, you know, you see a guy open. You got to throw it on the move. You're not going to do that, but you still have to finish your throwing motion when you're making awkward throws, or you're gonna have inaccurate passes. So, you know, that's part of the, you know, playing at that level. And you know, everybody needs to work their swing and get the reps. And, you know, we didn't expect Jay to be perfect yesterday, and he wasn't. But, you know, he played well enough for us to win, and he did that with the backing of his teammates in all three phases.
Six-man rush, throwing, goal line, and touchdown, Earl Bennett! Touchdown, Bears, who've taken the lead on the Browns.
And Earl with another red zone touchdown this season for the Bears as they get through the Cleveland Browns last night. Jay Cutler, our Player of the Week, brought to you by Tempur-Pedic. And welcome back to the Chicago Bears Network Studios. The Bears Coaches Show brought to you by McDonald's, here with Mark Trestman as we get you set for the Bears and Eagles next Sunday night as well. And the Bears keeping an eye on tonight's matchup, Detroit hosting the Baltimore Ravens. I know you'll be working on game plan. Don't tell me you won't have that TV on with an eye on what's going on.
Probably not much.
No.
You know, we'll work here, and I know some of the guys may. I'll probably, when I get home, you know, my girls, they'll be watching the game, but I don't know how late I'll be able to stay up to watch it. Got to get rest, and got to be back in early, so we'll get a piece of it. But we'll see it on tape tomorrow. It'll all be there in front of us. The whole game will be there when we get in the morning. We'll be able to watch it first thing.
All right, let's take a look at your defense yesterday. Where are the improvements?
I thought we got a, we hit the quarterback. We got 10 or 11 hits on the quarterback, which was really good. We pressured him and forced him to get rid of the football early enough that he couldn't get the ball to Josh Gordon early in the game. He had to check the ball down, and Jason does a good job of that. And he didn't waste time holding onto the football, which helped. We weren't superior in the run by means. We still have to work at it, and we still have to get better. But we held him down 100 yards of rushing, which was good. Our fits were better. We tackled better. And our front was stronger. I thought Corey and Jeremiah did a good job inside, and we rotated Steven in there. He played well. We got some good, decent play out of our ends, and Zach stepped up big, and we finally got some turnovers, which was huge, and we kept things in front of us. So overall, we were good on third down. Yesterday, we were better on third down in my recollection. I could be mixing it up, but I think we were pretty good on third down. I think we're 3-9. So that's good. And but we got work to do. I mean, the last 2 weeks, as I told the media today, we've given up touchdowns late in the game, forced ourselves into onside kick returns. That's not good. These games go down to the wire. Last week New England wins, they're down two scores, and it just each and every week these games are never over. So we got to do a better job at the end of games. We got to make them go the long way, but we got to keep them out of the end zone as well. So I think that's the part that we're gonna focus on. Again, we're gonna continue to work on the run game, continue to fit to tackle better. Our younger guys got better. Kasim and Jonathan played sufficiently in the game. James Anderson had a good game. He tackled well. So some good things came out of it. Julius had made some good plays along the way.
How well do you know Chip Kelly and what he does?
I don't know Chip Kelly at all. I met him at the NFL owners meeting. I got a lot of respect for him for what he did. I mean, he's plowing through our league right now. Their offense has been dynamic. They're at the top of the league in so many different departments. He's done an incredible job. It's not easy to go from college to the National Football League and have success. He's proven you can do it. And I give him a lot of credit. No, he's got good players as well, but I give him a lot of credit for what he's done.
Yeah, it's when you watch it, you'll know it. You'll see it. The multi-tiered attack is what they have, and they do it a little differently. But the centerpiece appears to be LeSean McCoy and what they can do with him.
No doubt.
Different than what the Bears have in terms of the use of Matt Forte.
Well, that's right. And I think they've done a good job with their quarterback, too. I mean, I think Nick Foles has done a really good job in assimilating a new offense. It's a credit to the coaches there. And Coach Shermer there has coached the quarterbacks, and of course Chip is coaching them as well, I'm sure. But they've done a great job, and they're in the hunt. It's a huge game for them, just like it's a huge game for it's a playoff game.
And defensively, they had a stretch of 9 games in a row. They held opponents to 21 or less, so they were doing it right until something happened in Minnesota yesterday. Yeah. So I don't know if you got any chance to see any of that, but
I didn't get a chance. I looked at cut-ups today. I didn't get a chance to look at the Minnesota game in continuity, so I really couldn't answer that, but. It's not easy to hold teams in the league to 21 points any week the way offenses are playing this year. So we got a lot of respect for what they're doing. We got to go on the road to do it. It's a primetime game. We've had good experiences in primetime games. We'll try to lead with that on Wednesday when the guys come in. We got to be at our best and got to play better than we did on Sunday.
And another 3-4. I think it's the seventh. But again, as I've been told many times, 3-4 is in name only because you see so many multiple fronts. Even yesterday, and I had seen it when I watched the tape of the Browns, they had T.J. Ward playing middle linebacker with 6 DBs. So you never know what you're going to get from
this team. And this is a team that is extremely, I've had a chance to look at a significant amount of their defense today, and they are extremely multiple with their front and with their coverages. They are all over the places as a variety of coverages and fronts that we've seen all year.
All right, before we let you go, I got Pat Meyer coming up next. Fill us in on him.
Met Pat Meyer at the North Carolina State University. He was a strength coach the first year I was there. The second year, our line coach left, and Coach Amato said, I've got a brilliant young guy who shouldn't be in the weight room. He should be coaching offensive line, and he was right. Just a brilliant, brilliant young coach with a great communication skills and an understanding of the science of the game. I'm sure he's learned a tremendous amount from Aaron and Aaron's experience in the 12 years in the league. But he can stand on his own 2 feet, and he's been extreme. He was great up in Montreal as our offensive coordinator and our line coach up there, and came down here with us is he can stand on his own 2 feet here. He's a heck of a young coach.
We'll be looking forward to talk to him here in moments. Hey, good luck, and root for the Ravens tonight, will you? Root hard. Root very hard for the Baltimore Ravens tonight.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman, and this hour featuring assistant coach Pat Meyer. Brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
We got the ending we wanted. Tough week, needless to say. So glad telling Josh, I'm glad this one's over. Glad it worked out. You know, the guys around me played a great game, offense, defense, the special teams made some plays for us. So it was fun being back out there.
At Bears quarterback Jay Cutler after yesterday's win by the Bears in Cleveland. He was on the postgame show with Zach and myself and Tom Thayer. Welcome back into Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Hallis Hall, brought to you by McDonald's. This is the Bears Coaches Show, and joined by assistant offensive line coach Pat Meyer. Good evening. How you doing? This is your maiden voyage.
It is. You know? It is. Doing well.
They saved you for week 15 of the show, week 16 of the show. Good stuff, though, yesterday. You know, we're gonna get into the entire offense, of course, but talk about we didn't touch on it really with Mark. We touched on other aspects, but the O-line, you know, did another very, very good job. Best rushing performance of the season by the O-line and the running backs.
Yeah, you know, and the continuity they've had all year has really been outstanding. Really, none of the guys have been hurt at all. All five guys have been together, and that helps out a bunch. Then you got a guy like Garza, who's you know, a leader, has been there for a long time. He leads that front, that group up front, and you know, you get the veteran Bushrod playing a tackle, and he's a lockdown tackle out there. And Flosson came in, has done a great job. And then you get the two rookies that have come in and have really played outstanding for, especially for rookies.
Hey, knock on wood, two on the snap. Not one snap missed.
Not one. Which is very, very, very rare.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was looking at the stats on Joe Thomas, the Cleveland Browns left. He hasn't missed a snap in his entire career.
Yeah, that's unheard of.
Which is, you know, you would think just even in a blowout, put somebody in. But, you know, that, and we know from what's happened here in the past with the O-line, sometimes it can be a turnstile because of injuries or performance. So it's the rare moment, and it happens. Mm-hmm. It happens in the league when somebody's offensive line gets to take every single snap of the season. And most of the time, that means very good things for the offense, and it's usually associated with a winning record.
Sure, and that's the way you want it. You don't you have to train guys to play obviously multiple positions, but you like to have the guys play the position that they're used to. And it's, you know, it's been fortunate for us this year.
And especially for those kids on the right side, you don't want them moving around. You know, you don't want them missing time.
They're still learning every day, and I mean, what they've done this year in terms of learning, I mean, they learned every day, they're learning something new, and they're like, oh, now I get it. You know, it's just repetition. So it's nice to be able to keep them there and keep the calls the same and keep the, you know, the guy next to them talking the same language, because you put someone else in there and something may change a little bit, you know, it really could mess everything up for them.
You know, is a light bulb, so to speak, for rookies at this time of year, really starting to fire off, especially for a guy like Kyle Long. And I just was with him last week at an event. And, you know, every day is growth for him. He just didn't have a ton of experience playing at a major college level. And then, bam, he's a starter in the NFL. Certainly earned the right to do it. But every day is a learning experience. But do you see from watching him on tape, the light bulb continues to pop every week?
Oh, sure. I mean, just the type of athlete that he is, playing the position he plays, an offense lineman, athletically, there can't be many that are better than he is. Now, in terms of, like you said, technique and learning and knowing what to do here, what if this happens? You know, the what ifs, as Coach Cromer always says. You know, it's he's got a ton of room to improve in that respect. But yes, every day you see it, and you see him getting better, and you can see him understanding the techniques better, understanding the scheme better. And like I said, you know, down the line, you know, it's the next week and the week after, or next year and the following year, he's just going to get better and better.
The Bears Coaches Show with assistant coach Pat Meyer and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Good. You know, we continue to build off this momentum and realize the type of team that we have, the type of team game that we played. That's something that you can build off of going into these last couple games.
That is Jermon Bushrod earlier today here at Hallis Hall. He met the media, the Bears' big left tackle, after the win over Cleveland yesterday, and looking ahead to the Philadelphia Eagles next Sunday night. Welcome back into the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Hallis Hall. The Bears Coaches Show brought to you by McDonald's. Talk at O-line tonight with assistant coach Pat Meyer. You get a guy that work with Cromer for all those years in Bushrod to help kind of educate the rest of the group on exactly what this running game and offense is all going to be all about. It had to be huge, even for you as well, right, coming into this picture.
Oh, for sure. I mean, especially for me. I mean, it was all new to me, too, coming in. So just watching a guy like that that knew the terminology, that knew the way Cromer wanted the techniques done, and just talking and mentoring not only the young guys, but, you know, but even the veterans, you know, was a big, big help.
And then you get the veteran, obviously, in Garzin, a guy who'd been with the Jets and Kavanaugh, so that helped, and Matt Slauson, and then the two rookies. So you put it all together, and a couple of things that we touched on over the early part of the show is that, you know, the pre-snap penalties are at a minimum. For the offensive line, I think only three of the penalties all year have been false starts, which is incredible given some of the venues you guys have played in and what used to go on here. Sacks per pass play, way down, top five in the league. And then we're talking the running game. Now, in your experience, is that the part that takes some time, the running game, especially between the tackles, between the guard, inside?
Sure it does. Because number one, there's a lot of variety. You know, when you talk in terms of the run game, I mean, in terms of protections, there's variety too, but you have limited amounts of different types of protections in that. But and when you talk in terms of run game, just different varieties that they have and just the different techniques and calls and different looks and what's the defense going to do if they slant? What are they going to do if they line up this way? So, it's yeah, there's a ton of time walking through plays, practicing plays, talking through them, watching videos. I mean, there's a bunch that goes in with the run game.
The good news is, even though at times, you know, you'd like to have some of those short yardage plays back, I mean, yesterday was good. You guys were good on short yardage, but I just went and looked this up. You guys are second in the NFL in runs going left, gaining 11 yards or more. So the big pops are happening on the outside. So we can tackle that first one first. And that, you know, the outside zone runs really were effective yesterday. Loving seeing Matt Forte. And I told Bushrod in the locker room, I go, there's nothing better than seeing a big old left tackle on a sweep. That takes me back old-time football with the Mark Trestman and Aaron Cromer slant to it, you know?
Sure. No, it's we've had success doing it and getting on the edge and tossing the ball, and Bushrod's accustomed to that type of play. They had the same type of play down in New Orleans, so he's got a knack for that. The receiver's done a great job on the edges, blocking. You know, at times we ask them to block the defensive ends, you know, and they do it. They don't bat an eye. And you know, the receivers that we have, as big as they are, I mean, heck, they're tight ends. You know,
Brandon. He's really outstanding. And then you throw in Martellus.
Martellus, Alshon, I mean, they all do a great job out there. I mean, they're obviously here to catch balls and make big plays like they've done, but they're all, I mean, those guys are all in about the run game now.
And you got to want to do it. You may have the size, but it's like rebounding in basketball or playing defense. You got to want to do it. You're going to have to want to block.
Oh, there's no question. It's all about the want-to. I mean, you're exactly right. It's all about the want-to. I mean, you can put a small guy out there, and if he wants to do it, he'll get in front of someone, you know, and you can put the biggest guy out there, and if he doesn't want to do it, you know, the play's probably not going to work. So our guys want to do it. They want to do it because they know that the line works hard for them in terms of protections. We got to do it for the backs. The backs protect for them when they're out there catching balls, so they're going to do it for the backs when it's time for the run game.
All right, here's the other stat I was going to throw at you. Running right this year, the Bears are fifth in the NFL in yards per carry at 5.27 yards. Does that make sense to you from what you've seen? Does that add up?
I would say yes. I mean, you know, again, you know, you talk about that right side of the line. Now you do have the rookies over there, but those rookies now, I mean, you talk about two young, powerful men now. I mean, they're that Kyle Long and Jordan Mills now, you talk about two young, powerful people. They are. They'll get some movement. I mean, if they're right with their technique and right with their steps and doing what they need to do, they'll create holes over there now.
I love the use of Alshon Jeffery on those end arounds. But what it did, even early in the season when he started having success, and he's good at it, number two, but it does set things up for future weeks, and who knows what else you guys have planned down the road, doesn't it? Because of his ability to get it done, they have to respect it. Automatically, they got to have somebody contained. That takes somebody out of the mix. And in some respects, even half of a defense if you're doing misdirection, like you did yesterday on the pitch to Forte and Bushrod out in front. Is that the whole genesis of it?
For sure it is. I mean, they have to respect it. And, you know, we're going to continue to do it. And, you know, at times we're going to hand it to them, and at times we're not. And it's It's a guessing game. That's what football is. It's a guessing game.
Absolutely love it. Pat Meyer, our guest tonight here on the Bears Coaches Show. Enjoy a free Red's Tavern Double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season. Brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. And a couple of Zach Bowman interceptions. One for a touchdown means that you will be able to do just that.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
They pitch it out left. Here's Forte. 25-20, 15-10, and bumped out of bounds. Terrific block, Jermon Bushrod. Sprung him free on the near side. He's taken out of bounds at the 7.
And that was one of the best Matt Forte runs. A great day for him all around, as always. 127 on the ground. Bears beat the Browns. Now prepare for the Philadelphia Eagles next Sunday night. Watch Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Hallis Hall every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network of shows. And listen to the next Bears All Access radio show brought to you by Sports Authority Thursday, December 19th at 6 on WSCR, 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Our remaining moments here with assistant offensive line coach Pat Meyer, who was a guard himself, an offensive lineman. Tom Thayer was trying to tell me you were a 300-pluser. Is that true?
I was.
Because you're not that now.
I was a 300-pluser coming out of high school. So, yeah. Tom was a lion.
In the Youngstown, Ohio area, right?
Yeah,
so you were back home.
Youngstown.
You were back home. It's ironic that you had Cromer, you,
sure. Kavanaugh's from Youngstown,
Hulk, Kavanaugh, all these guys with the Cleveland area ties or Ohio ties yesterday. Sure. So satisfying, beating a Toledo guy, the Rob Chudzinski-led Cleveland Browns, and congratulations to them. They had a baby this morning too.
I heard that.
Yeah. So, but anyway, and so why coaching? How'd you get? Your dad was too, right?
No, he wasn't. I just been around it. Just playing 20 plus seasons of tackle football. That's all I knew, and just getting out of college and figuring out what I wanted to do. And I just knew I wanted to coach, and I had the opportunity and fortunate enough to get my foot in the door and became a GA and worked my way up the ladder from there.
Yeah, a lot of college stops, and then you meet up with Mark Trestman. That was at NC State, he was telling us. And then it was a cool being the OC and the O-line coach up there at Montreal.
Oh, yeah. No, it was fun. Like I said, two stops with Mark there and then Montreal for 1 year last year, which was a neat experience. And, just I've learned so much over the years, not only from Mark, but the other coaches that I've been around. It's been neat.
All right, before we let you go, quick snapshot of that defense you'll be facing on Sunday night.
Very good front seven. Different types of front structures are now more of a 3-4 team. They have two stout outside linebackers that can stop the run, and they can rush the passer very well. Defensive ends that are very stout. Cox is a very good player inside. We have our hands full. A different type of blitz structure that we've seen, from the last recent game. So we're going to have our hands full, and the guys are – it's going to be a good battle for us up front.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Fun preparing.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us.
All
Pat
guys.
Meyer earlier tonight with Coach Trestman. The discussion, the Cutler, Alshon Jeffrey connection.
Somebody once said Alshon did what Alshon does, and he jumped up in the air and made the play.
Yeah, but there's skill involved in that,
no
too,
doubt.
And the
no
ability
doubt.
The ability to, A, concentrate, the ability to adjust his body in a position where it was not like he just...
The great ball skills, hand-eye coordination, and plus the work that goes into... those justifiable moments for a player when they work so hard to play at the level that he's playing at and to see the rewards that he's getting. Never complains, never says a word, incredibly high football intelligence, a one-rep guy, tell him what to do, he does it, great instincts. The wide receiver position is an artistic position. It's a creative position, but you have to do it with a framework and a discipline. He does all of that. He's really special.
Let's go back to Jay. You've broken down his performance. You did earlier today. Give us a synopsis for those people that didn't get to hear it today.
He did. He did some things very, very well. I thought. The things he didn't do well. I thought he. Held the ball a little long when he threw the ball to Brandon. Probably should have checked it down or run it. The throw that he made to Brandon on the second interception. Talked to Jay this morning. Even though Brandon probably should have been wider on the play, he got in a little bit tighter than he should. Brandon was correct. I think that, you know, talking to Jay about it, Jay felt he should have made that throw. And then he was high on two or three throws, and it was strictly a mechanical thing. He made good decisions. He was going to the right guy. He read the coverage properly. He just didn't go over his left side enough. He was on his back foot. And when you don't get over that left side and finish your throwing motion, you're going to be high, and in a wind, the ball's going to drift, and that's what it did. But he was able to you know, compensate for that most of the game. I mean, you come back after being out as long as he does. You complete 71% of your passes against a top 10 rate defense in the league. You know, very good defense. That says a lot. And as Jay said, the line protected very well for him, and that didn't not just the five guys, but Eben and Matt and Brand and Martellus. All those guys did a great job of protecting. Jay took a couple of hits, but you know, really didn't get sacked in the game and stayed pretty clean. You know, he'll tell you that the guys did enough for him to get those balls completed. So, you know, he liked to have four or five of those throws. He could have had a very high percentage and certainly wanted with the interceptions back.
Well, everybody would love to be perfect, but
that's what we try to do.
Third down passing, he was. He had a perfect quarterback rating on third down passing the football. Yeah, 11 of 12, Mark, for 152 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, I think that, you know, number one, Jay would tell you that Aaron and Pat Meyer, our line coaches, do an exceptional job of setting up our protection plans each and every week. That's the first thing in third down, because third down is so hard, and this week particularly hard of the multiple fronts and blitzes that they had. So, you know, that's number one. And then the guys have to assimilate that in the course of the week. There's a lot of different looks and a lot of communication that goes on to solidifying protection in the National Football League on third down. So it all starts there. And then we got a lot of man-to-man coverage. The guys got to get open and did a lot to help each other, unlock each other in terms of our releases. And it's a one big dance, you know, and it starts in meetings and it works its way into third down. And that's a real exceptional performance on any level to do that on third down.
Going back to the fundamentals of throwing the ball, you keep saying he has to get all the way around on his left side. Can you elaborate on that a little bit visually so we can see
it? If you watch quarterbacks, generally, a right-handed quarterback, generally his left foot will tell it all. His left foot has got to be open to the target, usually 6 inches in front of the target. And when your left foot opens up, your knee opens up and your hips open up, and so you don't lock up. If your left foot is pointed inward and not directly at the target, you're going to be thrown across your body. When you do that, you lock up, you can't finish, and you wind up throwing it and pulling back before you finish. And when you pull back before that arm comes through, any golfer will tell you, if you don't finish your golf swing, you're going to slice the ball, and that's basically what happens.
And as a pretty bad golfer, I know exactly what he's talking about. Mark Trestman and the Bears Coaches Show wrapping up here from Hallisaw. We really appreciate you listening tonight. Bears and Eagles next Sunday, 4:30 pregame, 7:30 kickoff. And that's on a night when we'll find out what the Lions are going to do tonight against the Ravens. And then, who knows, could be a real big week next week in Philadelphia. We'll be one way or another. Thanks again to Bears Broadcasting Executive Producer Greg Miller, to Andy Gersher, our radio producer, and studio help tonight from Steve Grzanich. For Mark Trestman and Assistant Coach Pat Meyer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for joining us on the Bears Coaches Show on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Good night, everybody.